Here we go, we're ready. It's Royal Ascot 2026, and every night this week we'll be here with In the Know, brought to you by the Racing Post. And of course, day one starts with a bang. Group one. We've got three of them for you on Tuesday. We've got the Coventry Stakes as well, and just a couple of massive field handicaps. Some of you out there will absolutely love getting stuck into them. I certainly know that someone in here loves getting stuck into them. And we'll have a revolving panel of top tipsters, but no top hats this week in the studio. My name's Ross Briley, and let us know what you like on day one and the week ahead as well in the chat. We are, of course, live and interactive. But let me introduce you to our panel for night number one. And with me every single day this week. He's put the top hat and tails and all the other finery away. Paul Keighley says, no, I want to sit in an air-conditioned studio and actually watch the racing without feeling sweat dripping down my back for the entire week.
Absolutely. Last year at the track, I mean, I did a fine impression of the fat controller, I tell you. Shirt stuck to me back on a train going home, horrible. Dressed down Royal Ascot, that's what I like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and look, and it looks, I'm sure it's absolutely fantastic when you're there, but I don't know. I feel hot just thinking about it.
I don't like being anywhere where I have to wear a tie, to be honest. So yeah. I'm absolutely delighted to be here.
It's tough though, isn't it? It's tough.
When you see the first set of declarations, you just realise how tough it is, you know. Yeah. And tomorrow, day one is the, you know, easiest day of the week, as they say. And a reminder that last year's place pot paid £2,700 on the first day, and the year before it paid twice that. But there's 115 runners tomorrow. There's 142 on Wednesday.
Right, yeah.
For the same number. So for the same number of races. So yeah, it's going to be hard, and it's going to be, you're going to do well to come out in profit.
But you are a sucker for punishment when it comes to massive fields. So
I like backing horses at decent prices. You know, in a lot of these races, you get these big handicaps, and you might be backing something at 12s, and you know that every other time it runs this season, it's going to probably be about 4s, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unless its form completely falls out the back of the telly, like, you know, so yeah, like, decent horses, decent prices.
Tell me one opinion that you had pre-going into this festival that you are stronger on, and is there anything that's changed your mind over the past week or so?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm massively stronger on anything. I think I'm very strong on Ombudsman. I think Ombudsman will win.
Yeah.
I was very strong on Night Raider, but the going stick is telling me that the Far Side might not be the place to be.
Yeah.
And even though the going stick can be misleading, the jockeys don't need an awful lot of persuading. They come stand side at Ascot, do they? So that worries me.
Certainly not early on.
I mean, we know from what's happened over the in the past that there will be one day where they don't. You know, they literally stick to that near side rail like glue. Doesn't normally happen day one. I think it happened on the Thursday last year, didn't it? Everything came over to the stand side on the Thursday last year.
Yeah.
And then the following day, all the horses that were drawn higher were backed off the boards. And I think Venetian Sun won at 20 to 1 on the Far Side, and it fit.
Yeah, and of course, we are Sandringham, where it was like the lowest three were.
Yeah, we are going to have watering pretty much every day.
Yeah.
Because it's warm.
Yep.
And there's no rain forecast, so we'll have to wait and see how it plays out.
All right. Punting number two for the evening, the anti-postman himself, Mr. Robbie Wilders.
I thought you'd never bring me in, mate.
Well, I thought
about 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, I thought I was keeping you sweet.
No, it's nice to listen to you two riff there.
Yeah. If Keels is a fully signed up big field handicap masochist. Yeah. What's your angle this week?
I'm more each way anti-post races are going to carp.
All right,
the Hardwick Stakes. That's my favourite race this week.
So you're already looking at your Fridays and your Saturdays and thinking I'm taking positions.
Giovolotto is a huge price at 10-1 for the Hardwick.
Yeah,
yeah. He's beating Calpano's favourite twice, and she's like 2-1.
Okay,
he's going to get fast ground. I think he's a superb.
Well, you're kind of taking advantage in that way of what. Like, you know, I imagine everyone else feels like I feel, where you start to look at the entries for Saturday, and my brain just glosses over because there's just so much to get through
between
here and there. And that's what happens. You get to Saturday and there's sort of 500-600, you think, oh, why didn't I back this early in the
week? Exactly, yeah. It's because I'm actually doing the man to my right's weekender column. So I've got to look at everything. And I've also done this race guide at every race. So I feel very across for 5 days.
Right, okay.
They're not all blurring into one just yet.
Is that your opinion that's firmed up over the last few days? Do you have a lotto, or is there another one that you...
This is the one that's been brewing today. I think that'll go off something like 3-1, 7-2 or something like that. Well, we'll see. Maybe I'm too confident, but that's the... At the moment, in Kiehl's column, that's the 2 points each way one.
All right, OK.
There could be another.
What's the... I don't know. Give us one more opinion. Either a banker kind of thing, or
Cozy
I don't know why...
Cozy Bellow in the Buckham Palace.
Who?
Cozy Bellow.
Oh, right. Okay.
Charlie Fellow's horse.
Yes, I like that horse.
Yeah, that's got a mahoosive chance.
A mahoosive chance?
Yeah.
That's
another 2 points each way, but it's been one of those, like, these markets change so quickly.
They do.
And it's down to like 8-1 now.
The thing is with horses like that is, especially on a week like this, sometimes you go, and sometimes they end up going off 5-2 in a big field.
They
double in price. So it's really hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to know when to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
And also if you're doing anti-post each way, like, are you better waiting until it's 5-6 places, or just take the fall of the quarter, or just do win only?
Yeah.
All of these conundrums makes it a lot of fun.
Well, and then different tipsters and different things come out with different times, and therefore you'd be like, there's a market move for this, and someone's put it up, and then, like you said, the draw, everything will win from one side, and then the next day the markets will go completely mad. This isn't even, this is without trying to just find the best horse in the race, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just an awful lot of things to consider, and you can change your mind as well.
Yeah.
You're not wedded to your selections for the whole week.
Well, that's the key thing for me, Kiehl's, is especially Cheltenham again, well, think other festivals like that, is I'm trying to resist getting too much of an opinion right now about later races, because I don't want to convince myself over the next few days.
It's easier to do it here than at Cheltenham, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we spend ages talking about the Cheltenham races in the run-up.
Yeah, yeah.
All of them.
Yes, true.
You know what I mean? Whereas, for most of these races, we haven't known the runners until the last few days.
Yeah.
So it's definitely easier to do that. I haven't even seen the entries for Saturday yet.
Yeah. I think that's
and I'm quite happy about that.
Yeah, agreed. Hello to 44 Sledge, to John Hall, to Lee Richardson, to Ian Sunderland, to Destiny Sounds, and to many, many more. Great racing, but no strong fancies from me, says Rob Dixon. Watch and enjoy. That's also another reminder as well. There are a few races where I almost don't want to spoil what might be a cracking race by biasing myself towards one financially. But luckily, there are more races where I don't feel like that. So let's get stuck in, shall we, to day one.
It's 35 for me.
I tell you what, we'll get stuck into day one in just a second. But first, it's over to you, Mr. Melrose.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions, percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not, overnight market moves, eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
There you go. Sound like start every festival with the Scotsman whispering seductively in my ear. check out the Edge every day this week ahead of the biggest meeting of the summer. Right, let's start with day one then, shall we? And race number one, of course, is as ever over the mile. It's the Queen Anne. And Notable Speech is 7-4 favourite. Opera Ballo is 7-2. More Thunder 4-1. Dockland 7-1. Zeus Olympios 9-1. Damasus 14. Cicero's Gift 40s with First Conquest in there as well. And then my old friend and yours, 10 Bob Tony, having a crack at the mile, is the outsider of the bunch. But traditionally, of course, the Lockinge is the obvious starting point when it comes to trying to find the Queen Anne winner. Not necessarily, though, the winner of the Lockinge A bit like the Dante is for the Derby. Sometimes getting beat in the lockage and then coming here to this very different track does tend to stand you in good stead. And Charlie Appleby has a notable speech here, who did bolt up in the lockage, Paul Keighley. But the horse is 0-2 at the track, and Charlie Appleby has run 5 horses in the Queen Anne, and they've all finished unplaced, which, given that in your head, Godolphin plus milers equals wins.
Last few years, Charlie Appleby's been terrible at Royal Ascot.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, it can't last forever because he's too good a trainer for that. And, you know, he did have a little quiet spell earlier in the spring, and they seem to be going really well in June at the moment, don't they? So maybe he's going to, you know, he's going to get it right this year. Notable speech. He's one of those that, you know, he's already disappointed twice here. It makes you want to take him on, but he did bolt up in the lockage. And, you know, it's very easy to pigeonhole a horse that says you don't like that track. But last year they went really, really slowly, didn't they? And he just pulled the jockey's arms out. If they go really, really slowly this year, then Billy Lochnane or Opabella won't have any arms left, will he? Because he tugs at a fairly fast pace anyway, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So I'd imagine they'll go faster. And, you know, yes, he's blown out twice. But remember Batash, his first two runs in an Unthorpe were £20 below his best. And then he won it twice and broke Dajil's course record. So, you know, there's no reason why he can't do it.
Although I do feel a bit like with Sprint, I feel like, you know, you'll see, I don't know, I always think of Dream on Dreams winning the Jubilee. You know, I feel like sprinters get, or Cardam. I actually don't mind that with sprinters, but with milers, maybe not so much.
Yeah, I could see it. And it is a stiffer mile than at Newbury, and he's blown out twice. So, you know, I'd take him on anyway. I love the run of More Thunder anyway. I backed More Thunder before the lockage.
In anticipation.
In anticipation of a big one. Well, I was hoping he was going to win, but it couldn't have worked out that much better, could it? Because he's only fours now, and he was 40s beforehand. So, you know, and there's only a handful of runners. He's still got to go and do it. But, for a horse that was off the bridle a lot last year, he was very fresh at Newbury as well, I thought. In the early stages, he still saw it out really well. Obviously, it was his first go at a mile for a while. I loved the way he ran in the foray last year when he was drawn wide on the outside in bad ground and flew home for fourth. It was a really good performance to get that close from where he was. So I think he's got a shot. You ask me, would I back him now at 4-1? I probably wouldn't. I think prices are about right, but that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, and I agree with all that. There's a couple in the chat. Tommy Daniel says, I've seen More Thunder tipped up by practically every tipster on preview shows, therefore he cannot win. Every preview show gives More Thunder straight line through that, says Gomez. And genuinely, Robbie, again, that did put me off. The more people... the more I go,
I think
he
might
drift
a bit tomorrow.
Well, yeah, because of that momentum, it's going to go on. But there is, it almost... Once sort of 5 or 6 people go, yes, that's the bet. My contrarian punter brain goes, oh no, we're all falling into the same trap.
You're like, we've overlooked something here, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly.
But also, first of all, I've apologised. I was chewing gum early. I've spat it out now.
That's all right.
I completely forgot I was chewing it. But
we would have got away with it if you hadn't mentioned it.
I don't know. I think people might latch on. Like Kills, I've also backed More Thunder at Antipost. I really liked him for the lock-ins. Love what he did last season. That run, the foray, was huge.
Yeah.
Hungerford run was huge. He's going to be better over a mile. I do fancy him to reverse form with Notable Speech at this track. I mean, sort of this time last year, we were talking about Notable Speech as a sprinter, weren't we? He ran the July Cup.
Yeah.
And now he's run over a stiff mile. He's not for me, even though he's obviously very classy. But now the one I have backed, is Zeus Olympios. Because if you asked me at the start of the season who was going to turn out to be the best horse in this field, I'd have said him. And I'm not going to give up on him just yet. The way he beat Opabella in the Joel last season, having been very inexperienced, was awfully impressive. I think he's just come into the boil a bit. He's still got a bit to learn.
He was stuck out on his own at Newbury, and he was also on the speed a lot more than the horse that beat him.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there is more in his favour than the price suggests. I think he's a very, very talented horse. And I'd be surprised if he didn't win a Group 1 somewhere. Whether it's tomorrow, I don't know. But, there's a big engine there.
Yeah, but you just think he's... Again, the market's kind of... I mean, he was 4-1 for the lockage.
Exactly, yeah. And he was a similar price probably for the Queen Anne.
Yeah.
And now he's just... off the back of one performance, he's drifted a lot. But I can't really forget what he did in the Joel, where I thought he could be like a potential sort of generational talent.
Yeah.
So So and it's going to be interesting. I mean, that just goes to show how interesting a race it is.
Well, and also the one more, again, I do think in terms of sort of people, punters veering wilder between one extreme and the other, you know, Damasus was all the rage for Aubrey, and suddenly he's 14-1, and he's only had one crack at a mile over in this grade. So, I mean, he's a 4-year-old. He will have absolutely no problems getting home over this stiff mile, and suddenly he's completely unfancied.
Yeah, I think that, I don't think the form worked out brilliantly behind him, did it? That was the thing. At Newmarket.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he looked a bit special there, didn't he? But it was all horses, you know, making their return. And the ones behind him haven't really gone on. So for me, he probably is about the right price. He does have a bit more to prove than Zeus Olympios, having run a much poorer race.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the one that he's talking about is Doctors, though, isn't he? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm doing the place spot tomorrow. I'm putting more Thunder and Doctors in and leaving it at that.
Yeah.
He's staggered if one of those doesn't finish in the frame. And he's as good as he ever was, isn't he?
He is, but I do feel it looks a better lineup this year.
Well, I don't know. Notable Speech's favourite last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I do think. But you've got your Opera Bello, More Thunder, Zeus Olympios, and Damasus are upwardly mobile.
No, they're potentially upwardly mobile. They're all potentially upwardly mobile. They're not necessarily proved it, have they?
No. You know, but I guess
you can't prove. But they've still got to step up, haven't they?
Yeah.
Whereas he's been there, done it.
Yes.
You know, he very rarely finishes out the frame, does he?
Oh, proper Ascot horse, isn't it?
Ascot. He ran an absolute blinder for Mark Zara in Chartin, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He just seems as good as he's ever been. So, you know, if I was going to have a bet in the race now at those prices, I would back Doctors.
Okay, fair enough. It's like muddied the waters almost a little bit, but it does show. But this is why the Queen Anne is also, it's always a bit of a trap as well, because again they come down the middle of the track, this massive swathe of Ascot, and they tend to go down on the middle, and you know you've had some big shocks in this race in the past.
Yeah, you can get shocks in any race at Ascot. Can't you? We know that. I don't see him coming from Cicero's Gift on that ground or First Conquest. And still trying to work out what First Conquest is. First Conquest going to try and lead and make sure.
Oh, I'm not getting into that. I can't get into that.
Try and help Opera Bello to settle, because I don't think Opera Bello wants a straight track. And I think a stiff straight track, given the way he tugs, is just the wrong place for him.
I thought if he's going to win a race of this nature, I thought maybe the Sussex might be a bit more of his street.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd be backing him. At that price in a Sussex Stakes, with the same field, he definitely his spin round. I expected him to kick off the bend and pull away from them, but I just worry about that uphill all the way at Ascot, fighting for his head for a lot of it. I mean, that, you know, that's what he's likely to do.
Okay, that's the opener then on day one. Let's move on to race number two. That is, of course, the Coventry Stakes, and we have a field of 22 lining up. Confucius is 2-1 favourite here. Great Barrier Reef 11-2. Royal Heritage 7s. Cutter Dash 8s. Knight in Vegas 9-1. Rulers Pride 9-1. And Rare is 12. Superb for Archie Watson, who's got a good record in this race, is 14-1. You've got Good God Given Talent, A Day of Scarlet, High King, Collision, The Ginger Kid, The Harve, The Scallionator, Bull Shark, Final Objective, Easy Answers, Yonki, Tukri, Kamal, Arizona Raider, and Treasurer make up the field. But to my eyes, Robbie Wilders, this is a slightly below par.
You reckon?
Coventry, in terms of the standard set by those horses coming in, it feels almost, I don't know, it has a weird feel of sort of the COVID year Coventry, where there's just there's a lot of horses with slightly odd profiles. I mean, you've got a horse in Bolton and Hamilton.
Nando Brodo. I remember watching that at home when I was in lockdown,
Almost that one / Rashabar year, maybe. I don't know. Obviously, the standard set is by Great Barrier Reef, but as I always think with these two-year-old racers, I mean, the Marble Hill hasn't thrown up the winner since Caravaggio, and I think people get excited about all of this form, and then just something improves a stone. But it could literally be any of them.
We are guessing.
Yes, with these horses.
Let's just admit it.
Yeah, with these horses we are, yeah.
Like, everyone's got a shortlist that's about 6.
Yeah.
I mean, who is rushing to back Confucius, though? Like, I just don't see it. He's not really separating himself from the pack.
No, he certainly hasn't. When I saw it last week, I had to do the Q&A, and I thought to myself, I'm pretty sure Confucius is going to be the one. But they were like 4-1 each two then, with the Great Barrier Reef. Obviously, jockey decisions made. The money was coming for Confucius anyway. Now it's 9-4, 8-1. I mean, in my mind, if you're going to back one of them, there's only one you can back now.
Yeah.
And it's not Confucius.
I mean, he is. I mean, again, you talk about, if Tom was on here, he would wax lyrical about pedigrees. Mm. And this horse has the most Coventry pedigree of all Coventry pedigrees in this race. And you'd hope so for 1.7 million, wouldn't you?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah.
So, but I guess the reason, part of the reason why I think he's firming up is because, again, it just seems a fairly mixed bag. Unless you're going to tell, maybe you're going to tell me that you said you had a shortlist of six.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I mean, like, I remember a couple of years ago, I could find ones at big price I liked. I've not really been able to do that, but I like a couple in like the double figure range.
All right, and what are they?
Your Memas stat is off putting me off about M Rare.
Yeah.
So what are the numbers again? Memas not had a Royal Ascot win in how many runs?
76.
That's
and only
crazy,
seven of them have placed.
That's crazy.
Admittedly, like I said, I did look at it.
It's going to change at some point, but...
It is, and not a lot of them are fancies.
Yeah.
A lot of them are cheap speed, 50-1 shots.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just wonder whether...
It's interesting.
There is that sort of cheap speed, and I wonder whether his progeny just don't get home as well as...
Yeah.
As others.
He's interesting. He was on the shortlist because I think he's a smart horse. The Lingfield should have won a Newmarket in his debut, and then the Lingfield run was good and a decent time. Kills will tell me he's on the wrong part of the track in stall six, but Superb is interesting.
Yeah,
for Archie Watson, obviously deadly in these sort of races.
Please. Yeah, I've got I had a couple of people text me and say take a little bit of the 25 Superb, and I looked at it and didn't. I mean, it's just a case that you look great, but you win. You know, a small field and in a slow time, and you get, I think you've got a racing post rate in a 77 or something. You think that the average is about 108, I think, for a winner of this, something like that, over the last 10 years. So you've got to make a big jump. I mean, horses do make big jumps, and you know, Archie Watson is very, very good. He's had 9 runners in this. Six of the horses he had were once race winners, and of those, he's had a winner, 2 seconds and a third.
Yeah.
So, you know, he knows what he's doing. It might be the wrong place. I'm not sure. It just says, you know, the on the BHA website, it says the going stick far side is slightly slower. And it says the centre's the fastest. But, I mean, they very rarely like to stay in the centre, do they?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
because it must be so hard to go down the middle of the track and know.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we look at this, there was one, two, I think it's half and half from stalls 0 to 10. To 11 and above, last 10 years, half and half, winners-wise. So, I mean, they can cover them anywhere. So I wouldn't necessarily rule it out. It's just the way my thinking was going.
No, fair enough. So what's on the shortlist for you?
Superb is on the shortlist.
So you've got Superb and...
M-Rare. Yeah, and the Hand and Horse Cutter Dash. That's been backed quite a bit, actually.
Yes.
That had the makings of a good horse at York, I thought.
Yeah. I like the way that he didn't do what a lot of these horses did and just sort of go out there and trundle home on the bridle. He picked them off one by one by one.
Yeah, that's true. Star Spangled Banner, I imagine he's got a pretty good record.
The problem I have with races like this is that, you know, when you head what you like, then you see how many horses are declared and you think, crikey, that's hard. And then you look at what you like and they've actually got a bit shorter than they were.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? So, and I was a bit like, I mean, on my shortlist was Superb, but only because I'd been told. Cutter Dash was one. I thought he was very impressive. And Night in Vegas is one of those that, with a more high profile trainer, would be a bit shorter, wouldn't it? I mean, he's just looked very good.
Yeah.
Both runs. And we know that Eve Johnson Orton can train Royal Ascot winners. She's very, very good.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So... I just like the way he's done it both times. At Goodwood last time, and when beating Victory Gold. Now I know Victory Gold blew out, but I think he played up early. He's got a hood when he runs into Windsor Castle on Wednesday, which suggests he played up when he ran the second time. And I just thought he's just won really nicely both times.
Yep.
He's got to step up. Everything's got to step up.
Yeah. I think I might lay Great Barrier Reef a place. I'm not mad on the pedigree. The form it looked to me like he outstayed Speedballs to me last time in the Marble Hill, and I just think so. The half of this field are gonna half his field could have run to that level if given the opportunity. So I think he might be a little bit underpriced. And I've had a little bit on a big price on High King.
Let's go.
For Donnacha O'Brien, who's by Calix, out of a dam, he was placed twice in group races at Ascot. He was clueless on debut, and then when you saw him at Fairy House last night, you knew why, because he's massive. Mm-hmm. And there's no way in hell he was ever going to be doing anything first time out. He got the run of the race at the right part of the track at Fairy House, but again, he did it on the bridle, and he just kept going and going and going and going. The third one the other day, the second was a Paddy Toomey horse who'd been really well backed, and he just bolted up. And it's just pedigree, just everything's there. And he's just a very big price.
Do you reckon he's putting people... If he was just like a one next to his name rather than the finished last, he would be sort of 12, 14 to 1.
I thought that as well. I thought there was a bit of that about him.
That's quite interesting. You make a good case.
He's just a very... Pedigree, form, speed figures, physicality, everything. He's a big price.
You're kind of thinking like, how can a horse that good finish last in a race, no matter how much they do wrong? But obviously he is good.
Well, and again, but I think he's that, like I said, you look at him, he's that just that big that he will have been against
big boy
nippier, speedier times who were ready and raring to go.
Interesting.
So yeah, there you go, there's the commentary. On the chat, Knight in Vegas has got absolutely no chance, says King Eric of Cantona. And don't disagree or he'll karate kick you in the crowd. The Ginger Kid says Rob Britton. And what else have we got? There's a lot of Confucius jokes.
Yeah, we haven't got a horse in here because that's in a single figure that only ran 6 days ago.
Yeah, that's the mat. But
the Royal
that,
Heritage.
But
he looked...
He looked a monster, didn't he?
He looked a monster.
But, you know, and he went off three on and he cost 800 grand at the Breeds Ups.
Yeah.
It's all a guess up. I mean, if you're having a big bet on a race like the Coventry, then something wrong with you in there.
Yeah, unless your name's Michael Tabor and it's on Confucius.
Absolutely.
Or
yeah.
Might be a bit different.
Unless you've got the inside track. Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Right, let's go to a much easier race. King Charles III Stakes, that's right, 5 furlongs, 26 runners, and a favourite that, let's be honest, again, unless you're playing back Australian replays and you know your Aussie form inside out, we are making an educated guess with, but the educated guess normally is that the British sprinters are fairly average, and the Aussie sprinters, even their average ones, are better than us. So Overpass at 3-1 is an understandable favourite. Knight Raider 7s, Rayevka 7s, American Affair 8s, Asphora 9s, Mission Central 10s, Big Mojo 12s, 14s at Rumstar, and bigger prices the rest. And a bit like Premier League teams in Europe, Keels, even the mid-table ones go and beat most teams now, and it feels like that with all these
players. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the state of British and Irish and, you know, European, basically, sprinters has been quite embarrassing for a while now. But I think it'd be extra embarrassing if a 7-year-old had managed to win for 18 months.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing enough that it's favourite, but I mean, if it comes out and hacks up, and then it just goes to show where we are. And of course, I think Tom said it the other day, we breed so much cheap speed with so many sprinters, right? But, you know, in terms of the world state, the majority are useless.
Yeah.
And so here we've got a 7-year-old, hasn't won since November 2024, does have some good form in the book, though. Was only beating a length and a bit in the Everest, Carl Ying Rising or whatever. So don't be surprised if he wins. He's going to, and this is one of the reasons I'm a bit worried about Knight Raider being drawn in 6. Now, I like Knight Raider because it all went wrong for him last time, and I think he still won very easily. He was well on top of the line. I thought, well, at least they know now that he's tactically versatile, because he dropped out of the stalls, didn't he? And it wasn't the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But they might go really fast on the stand side, and he'll be out on the other wing, and just not 100% certain about it. So I ended up jumping. I'm going to back him. But I'm a little bit worried about his draw, because I think a lot of the fancied runners are drawn higher. In fact, virtually everything else that's fancied is drawn a lot higher.
The bottom 6 stalls in this race had 90 runners and 2 winners. And again, there's been a lot of fancied horses disappoint. But it's just partly getting stuck on a wing a bit is not ideal, is it?
Yeah,
because when he won at Newmarket, for example, there was a lot of horses that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, when he showed at Newmarket, he can do it on his own as well. So,
true.
I mean, that's the thing. And, so I'm certainly not ruling him out, but he's in 6, favourites in 19, third favourite is in 15, fourth favourite is in 18, the next is in 26, the next is in 24, the next is in 17. You're going all the way down to Rumstar, who's in trap 4. So you think all the favourite runners are on that side, so including some serious pace from the Aussie. So you've got to think to yourself, well, hang on a minute, it's going to be over there, isn't it?
Probably.
You know what I mean? So I came down, and it seems to have been quite well back, but I've come down to a big mojo. I just thought he was a little bit of a forgotten horse. I mean, yes, he's got to improve on that return in 6th in what is now called the Minster Stakes at York, isn't it? But last year, he won the Commonwealth Cup trial. He got in all sorts of trouble. Are you trying to stifle a smile there? Because I didn't call the race what it used to be called.
It was more that I was just saying the things I was going to say in my head rather than out loud.
So I could just see you grinning to it. Sorry. He won the Commonwealth Cup trial. He got in a bit of trouble when 7th in the Commonwealth Cup itself.
Yeah. Came out of the stalls scratchily, didn't he?
Yeah. But then he gets beaten neck in the July Cup, and then he wins the Sprint Cup at Haydock. And those runs are as good as anything else in the field, probably with the exception of the Aussie. And you know, he was 20s, you can still get a bit of 16. I think that's reasonable value.
Yeah. He's got that perfect combination as well, Robbie Big Mojo, of course form, but also the speed over 5, but also the stamina over 6.
Yeah, he was interesting. I did the pin stickers guide on this, so I had to make a remark on every runner, and he was one I was looking at, certainly.
Who bubbled to the top for you, though?
Rayevka.
Yeah.
Just about. You like Rayevka as well, do you?
Well, again, she's just got to run well, hasn't she?
I think so, yeah. I mean, ran well in the Commonwealth Cup last season. She looked better than ever over 5 last time in France. Just love Graffod. Best trainer in the world, arguably. And it's just a weak bunch in Britain. Mm-hmm. The Aussie could win, but there are better Aussies out there. It's really difficult. The most interesting runner of all, I think, is Bahike.
Yep.
I had that also on my radar for the Palace of Holyrood House. It's rated 100, but they're not running in that, and they're going for this. Maybe that's just a damning diamond of how weak they consider this race to be, but he looks very smart.
I think it's also partly the owners like to tilt at Wimbledon.
Oh, yeah,
and like
Amo, of course.
To run in big races.
He could be that really good prospect going forward.
But it is quite a behiking grade, isn't it?
Whoa, wow.
So
I think Rijevka, just about, kind of come in a little. I think Siegel tipped in, didn't he?
It's Siegel's fault.
Yeah, grr.
But no, you're right. She ran a blinder in the Commonwealth Cup last year, and again, she's got that good that combo again.
She's by Blue Point, who's an Ascot legend, of course.
Yes. My Cloud, Misinformation, amongst others last year, winners at the meeting.
Yep.
And of course, himself.
Yeah, plenty. Twice in 5 days, less as well.
I mean, it's not.
I'd like to see that more often. I'd like to see someone do that this year. It's sort of reaching higher, we'll talk about him later, but he's entered in the Queen Alexandra. I'd like to see a double. Maybe.
Well, she wouldn't be off the, you know, the right profile to do that. But
we're getting ahead of ourselves there, aren't we?
Yeah. Let's leave Saturday. The Kiel doesn't even know what races are on Saturday.
Absolutely no idea.
Especially now they've changed the schedule. I'm not sure I do. All right.
Just remember what ones are on tomorrow. To be fair.
So Big Mojo and Night Raider for you.
Yeah, Big Mojo and Night Raider for me.
And Robbie.
Rayevka, please.
All right. Since you are so nicely, you can tip Ray, okay? Yeah.
Are you going to join me?
Yeah, I think so. I am. Yeah.
Let's go.
I had the two I had down were Rayevka and Big Mojo, so I do think we
fantastic. Yeah.
All slightly.
Any diagram has got Rayevka.
But also, I don't like betting in races where I know nothing about the favourite.
It's a good point.
I mean, it's like betting in races with a well-backed newcomer as favourite. You're like, well, good reading to anything, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's another guess up. Let's get the sprints out of the way.
Yeah, just you wait till you get to the Jubilee. This is hard making a head to tail of the form. Anyway, right, let's get to St. James's Palace, where we can definitely talk about the runners, because we have been excited about this for a while, and albeit the smallish field, to a certain extent, with just the 6 runners, Power Blue and Lord Britain are triple figures, but we genuinely have, 3 Group 1 horses and 1 horse who's very much looked like a Group 1 horse, even though he's not taken It's in at this level, yeah. But Bo Echo is clearly the one to beat at 8-11 after absolutely mauling them in the 2000 Guineas. But horses who go to the Irish Guineas and then come here have a significantly better record. And Gustard did that and got the one back next to his name. Talk of New York, skipped all the Guineas and went to the Heron Stakes, which is quite a nice springboard for this, for your unexposed types, and absolutely wants home. And Puerto Rico was a dual Group 1 winner last year, and given the way that the Yards horses, your Precises and your Gustards, have been coming on for the first runs in big races, he might take a step forward as well. So, Robbie Wilders, this is a proper lineup.
It's a belter.
And, yeah, how's it going to unfold?
Oh, I think Puerto Rico make the running.
Okay.
And I think he's a bit underestimated. I mean, we've been talking about these three horses. To be fair, the one I would have backed is Raif, but he's not running, the French Guineas winner.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico, just really tough. I think he needed his return. I think he's the one that's got a bit of juice in his price, but...
But does he need juice in the ground?
Wow. He could do. I don't really know. I mean, Bo Echo has not run on a turning track. Is that going to be a factor? I don't know. He's pretty professional, isn't he? He should be fine with that.
We wouldn't hate, he's been left-handed, hasn't he? A sharp left-handed track. But this is going to be a different
right-handed
proposition.
Turn. Yeah, yeah. Stiff.
And bearing in mind, his main rivals have been whipping around the Curra and Sandown. Yeah. So they had a...
He probably should beat Stad. Probably should.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's confusing me. Talking New York, brilliant in the Heron Stakes. I think what I might do is just play Puerto Rico and hope he sort of gets a soft lead and runs the finish out of him.
Okay. Yeah, but this is kind of one of those races where I don't want to ruin it with financial interest.
Yeah, you just want to hope to see that Bo Echo is actually a proper superstar, don't you?
Yeah.
Because he looked like that, and he goes, when it's, what was it, 11 lengths back to the third? Yeah. The runner-up's absolutely bolted up in the Irish Guineas, you know, and he's beaten that one by nearly three lengths. George Bury was really, really confident before the Guineas. He seems even more confident now.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know...
I mean, if George is right, he's going on a sort of Baid-level winning streak,
yeah,
isn't
absolutely.
He?
Yeah. I mean, this is the last time you'll only... You know, it could be the last time for the rest of the season you only get a shade of odds on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it'll be log odds on. I mean, you know, we are used to seeing, since Frankel, most Guineas winners have done their winning by the middle of the summer. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, after the Sussex Stakes, and then they just fall off. It'd be nice to have one that carries its way all the way through and turn into a champion. That's what I'm hoping to happen.
I was just going to say, but the, I mean, 73 horses went to the Curra. And then came here, and 16 of them won.
Yeah.
45 skipped everything from Newmarket, and only 4 won. And I do think sometimes, again, we're bearing in mind, even though we know plenty about these horses, they're still, we're barely halfway through the three-year-old season.
Yeah, absolutely. They can all take big leaps, can't they?
Yeah.
But, you know, which one would be least suited to a tactical race? Probably Stard, because he took a while to pick up, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And then he really hit overdrive at the Curra. So you've got to worry about that. Maybe Puerto Rico will make it, maybe one of the rags will. All the talk I hear is that Talk of New York is miles better than the horses that Appleby ran in the Guineas. Certainly look potentially like he could be.
Yeah.
But he's still got a fair amount to find, isn't he, at the moment?
Yeah.
You know, so... I'll sit it out from punting perspective, but I hope Bo Echo's as good as he looked at Newmarket.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so do I, but I just couldn't back him. He's almost a lay at the price for me, just because I partly feel that the only way is down, Robbie, from 1-2-7 and winning the Guineas by half the track. Where do you go? Where's the next step up?
Well,
from
if Rodders was here, he'd say that was his day. Like, how can he build on that?
Yeah.
He didn't need the run. Yeah,
so if he runs £4 below that, and Gustard improves another £4 at the Curra, it's not...
And Talking New York is going to improve, I'd say. Yeah. Like, we haven't seen his best yet.
Well, again, you do... You know, you'll know better than me, but 116 in a listed race feels pretty high for me, isn't it?
Yeah, big time. That's not far off of Wolverton winner, and that's the best listed race of the year.
Yeah,
for all the horses, so got a chance.
The last horse to win the Heron and do something similar was My Prospero, and he probably should have won this in that Caribous year. Yeah. To be fair, him and Malgi made a bit of time, didn't they? Yeah. So okay, but I just want them all to run the race. and I want at least what. It's just going to be a good race, isn't it?
Oh, I hope so.
It can't not be.
Yeah, I just hope so. No trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice turn of foot in the end from Bo Echo. But no, I won't be punting in the race, but I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Never underestimate how much the O'Brien horses go on for their Guineas run, says Tommy Daniels. Everyone will have a tenner on Bo Echo. Someone's going to do a price boost with a tenner gap. So Rod's ready with his finger on the button. And could Power Blue pull off a massive upset? And I'm thinking no. No, that's what I'm thinking.
No chance.
But at the same time, I wouldn't say no chance just because it's just we're just setting ourselves up for that to be clicked off.
I once said that what was that Ben Paulin horse, Global Citizen.
Yeah.
So friend in the office, he said, "Oh, I'm thinking about backing Global Citizen, Rob.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think?" I was like, "He's got no chance, mate.
Yeah,
like save your money." And then the
race opponents used to do the comments in the race card for Cheltenham many, many years ago. And the comment for a horse in the Gold Cup was more a candidate for last than first, and it was Norton's Coin.
Yeah.
So it can all go wrong.
Yeah,
exactly. Don't ever put someone off for an interest. Well, that's just what I learned.
They're just horses, aren't they?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, exactly. That's what I mean.
It's an unpredictable sport.
And that's, if it was a predictable sport, we'd be bored of it by now, wouldn't we?
Absolutely.
That's the point.
If they're doing something else, they'd have a normal office job, probably.
Yeah, he'd be like, what's going to win this race? Well, the horse, this one. And did it? Yeah.
Cheers.
That's great. See you next year. So, right, okay. Let's hope the St James's Palace lives up to its billing. The Royal Ascot Stakes next, then. 2.5 miles here for this Heritage Handicap. And reaching high is 9-4 favourite. Put your hands together. 6-1, Baylor Bay, 12-1, Bunting, 12s, Galileo Dame, 12s, Westminster Moon, 12s, Glen Royal, 12s, Kisliar is 12s. Every other horse in the race is 12-1. Apart from the favourite, Reaching High, who is taking a leaf out of Quivega's book, Keels, and just skipping an entire season and coming back for the same race next year. But unlike Quivega, he didn't win. He had
didn't
a nightmare.
Win. He should have won, though, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody knows that. That's why he's 9-4. I think Mullins had a horse called Hip Hop De Loire that should have won the Ebor and then went back to it and didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Went back to it last year and didn't. So, you know, you could just see how he was going on the rail. I think he came out of stall one last year, and he was on the rail, and you could just see coming round a bend turn of a home. This is no way on earth he's going to get a run from there, and that's exactly what happened. He finished on the bridle. I think Ryan Moore managed to get one crack into him about a furlong out, but I mean after that it was just a wall of horses, and he's only a pound higher. I can see him winning easily. But I'm not backing him.
No.
Not in a million years. You know what I mean? I just would not back a 9-4 shot at a 21 handicap.
As you've seen, it won't happen again. And you're, well, it might happen again.
Yeah, exactly. it could do, couldn't it? Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, maybe Ryan Moore will bounce him out and he'll make all the money and they won't see where he...
What, do a Vauban?
Yeah, exactly. It could easily do that and he hacks up, but I can't back a horse at that price. So I'd have ended up small each way on two outsiders.
Okay.
That I thought were interesting. The first one is ex-German Ismahan for Paddy Toomey, who's just a brilliant trainer.
Yeah.
I mean, when you train in Ireland with a 28% strike rate and you're coming up against Aidan O'Brien all the time, like and Joseph O'Brien and all the big stables there. He's just an exceptional trainer. He won the Queen's Vase with Karmas last year, didn't he?
Yep.
So he's certainly broken his duck here. This horse has only run twice for him, running a couple of maiden hurdles. Fourth the first time, fed a lot better. The next time, horse fell in front of him. He wouldn't have beaten the winner, but the winner was a Red Hot favourite, Richie Owen, Mullins trained. But his platform's quite interesting, albeit the vast majority of it is on soft ground.
Yeah,
but I watched.
But that's Germany, right?
It's Germany. Yeah, most of it's in Germany. He finished second in the Italian St Ledger.
Ah, yes, yeah, yeah. I know well.
Yeah, that was on that was on soft ground. He got an RPR 99 there. He's running off. What was it, 93? I think. I watched that race a couple of times. He doesn't look to me like a horse with an action that says he's an out and out mudlark. So he might be okay. He looked like he was a strong stayer. He was pulling well away. He was no match for the winner, but he was pulling well away from the rest. So I thought I'd give him a chance. It was the fact that Toomey's just given him one run in January and another one a couple of weeks before Royal Ascot, and then let's go. So I think he's been laid out for it.
I'm just trying to look at the obviously there's very little on the side, but he's only had two runners on good to firm, one place. 21 runners on good, though, six winners, 29% strike rate on good ground.
His action didn't suggest to me that he desperately needs it. I mean, he might do. We'll have to wait and see. The other one's trained by Warren Greatrix, All In You, who hasn't run for 756 days on the flat, but was massively improved over hurdles last season. And again, he's another horse with loads of soft ground form, but he actually hit decent ground at Sandown and he won a good race in January. I don't know what happened to him in the big hurdle at Newbury after that, but
it was the ground because I quite fancied him, and everyone told me he won't go in the ground.
Yeah, I know. Well, he was going. But the problem was he was going in the ground at Ayr, because I think he might have won the Scottish Champion hurdle of a horse and fallen in front of him two out, because he looked to be going best. But you know, the way I'm looking at it is he's on the up.
Yep.
I've no idea what that equates to. He's got a rating of 91 on the flat. The horse he beat at Longchamp, I didn't notice this actually, I'm robbing this off Tom Siegel now, even though I tipped him, actually went off favourite for the Melbourne Cup last year. That was the last time he ran on the flat when he won at Longchamp.
Presage
Nocturne. And is now rated 111 or something. So, you know, there might be a good horse in there off a mark of 91. They were two that interested me at prices, but it wouldn't surprise me if Regi and I just bolts up.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get my head around. It's like I'm going to have to watch the Italian St. Ledger back. Uh-huh. And
the Scottish Champion Hurdle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's this sort of race.
It is this race, isn't it?
Because, Robbie, last year, Henry de Bromhead trained the winner and Joseph O'Brien trained the second, third and fourth. So it is a jumps trainers. Benefit.
Yeah. And you've just mentioned the winning trainer this year.
Is it Mr. O'Brien?
Tim Toe.
Oh, no, Mr. DeBromhead.
Henry DeBromhead obviously won it last year for Sendon.
He looked at that. Won over a mile last time, didn't he?
Yeah, he won over a mile. He's got pace. This fascinating piece of campaigning, because he won a mile race last, a very slowly run mile race, came from last to first. But he's just bred to be a national hunt horse by Joshua Tree out of a Doyen mare. Fascinating he's running here. Sendon's going the copper horse rather than here. I just assumed that Sendon would run here. DeBromhead's putting him up a mile and a half in trip. Who knows how he's going to get on, but I think he's got a bit of class about him from what he's done in his three flat runs. Will he stay?
And of course, he could have run Ascending in this again, couldn't he?
Yeah, that's what
runs later on the card, yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised that Ascending isn't running here and he's going for this. So maybe it's been a bit of a long-term plan. He's just one I could see going really well at a price.
All right. It's not a race I have a huge opinion on, but Kislyar.
Oh, yeah, you love that horse.
Well, he's an ex-Icon horse. If he came in with his flat profile and say he was in here...
Didn't he beat Tim Toe? He did, yeah.
He did, yeah. That's what you can say, yeah.
And if he was trained by... If it was Del Zargles, Mikel Barcelona in the Argo Council, so I think people would be saying, this French raider's got a cracking chance. His French form looked really good. I really fancied for the Fred Winter, but he didn't run. But he drifted like a barge last time out and won... on good ground at Killarney. I just think he's really interesting. He was very eye-catching in maiden hurdles, but he's just very interesting. And again, Joey Sheridan, Joseph O'Brien, he's got that that Aga Khan bloodline, obviously, and he just looked very interesting.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, as Kiel says, his form ties in with my selection, Tim Toe. Tim Toe is a bit further back. Your selection controlled it, so I think they both got squeaks. Like you guys are saying, like reaching high at 9-4 is not a bet, is it?
No, and again, it's and normally with this, it's I'd say, well, it's not my sort of race. There's loads more going on, but I kind of want to get that Fred Winter Anti Post money back.
Exactly.
But that's the Ascot Stakes. Let's have a look on the chat. Money for Joseph O'Brien's Kislyar, and the bottom white weight has an excellent profile. Comfort zone to place says Gomez. Tommy Daniel says, I reckon William Mullins would love it if he could have a Royal Ascot winner for King Charlie. So, which I'm sure that's exactly how he refers to him in person as he rings him up. Yep, Charlie, we've got him primed. We have, yeah. Tim Toe's a great each way bet for King Eric of Cantonar. Right, Two more to go then on day one, and we are over for the Wolverton Stakes. Again, as Robbie said, listed race, not really. This is a Group 3, and you sometimes need a Group 1 horse to win it, as Hartem was last year. Instead, went off a big price. He's 6-1 to go in again. Joint favourite with Naran, Ghostwriter, that's where he's been. He's been teeing him up for the Wolverton. It's 15-2. Garland is 8-1. King's Gambit, 9s. Wimbledon Hawkeye is 9-1. Emsjar, 11s with Sir V. And then bigger prices, the rest, including Carl Burke's Royal Rhyme. We've got a couple of Godolphin horses in there as well, which often run well in these sort of races. I did fancy Dividend to run a big race until I saw that box one. And various other bits and bobs, including Persica, who was done on the nod at Epsom 11 days ago. But Robbie, you were saying that this again is basically a Group Three, and it's a Group Three where, you know, horses often who just haven't quite cut it at the very top level, even they have to go through the pain barrier to win. So since they turned it from a handicraft.
it's only the start of the week, mate.
I actually think
it probably should still be a handicap.
Yeah?
Yeah, because some of these horses should run the Prince of Wales Stakes. I mean, they get beaten by Ombudsman, wouldn't they? But
well, that's probably why they're not running it. But I suppose.
Some of these, though, like, just have a crack. I don't know.
I don't know, but then we wouldn't have... This is
a quality race.
It's a quality race, yeah.
Yeah, there's so many you like.
And if half of them were running in that race, you'd go, well, what are they running this race for? We've got no chance.
I'll take it all back. You were right. It shouldn't be a handicrap.
It shouldn't be a handicrap.
How about Adelaide River?
You tell me. Well, how about Adelaide River?
He's a rank outsider. He was a very good three-year-old. He was second to August Redan in the Irish Derby. And Aidan O'Brien compared him to Duke of Marmalade after he beat Al Azi at Leopardstown. Good horse. And then they shipped him out to Australia. He's come back with Joseph O'Brien and... the owner, Lloyd Williams, is it? Australian owner, powerful. Yeah. He's back here. I thought he ran all right behind Mini Hawk in a race that wasn't run to suit the Mooresbridge Stakes after a long layoff. Don't know how much ability he retains, but he's got an all right draw. I love Joseph O'Brien and he's a massive price. So he was one I thought could outrun his odds.
All right. Yeah, Adelaide River.
I have no idea if he is as good as he used to be, but I thought there's enough in that reappearance to suggest that he might win something decent at some point.
All right, fair enough. What do you got?
I have fancied loads in this. I spent ages and ages on it. I mean, I nearly tipped both Godolphin horses, and now I've tipped neither of them.
Yeah.
Arabian Light, I thought, was quite eye-catching behind Ombudsman and the Brigadier Gerard. Ancient Wisdom obviously has some decent back form, and Charlie Appleby has a great record in first-time cheek pieces. I was a bit worried about the ground for him. I ended up coming down and back Naran, who has shortened since I backed it, and I've backed Servi, who has lengthened quite considerably since I backed it. So, well, one way or the other, I've got some value and some bad value, although I've just had a tiny little press up on the latter. Ran three times last season, won the first three, and then the fourth attempt ran in an arc trial, finished a length and a quarter by Quadunor and a certain Darius.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, these trials are muddling, to say the least.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But he has run very close up to horses that have won five Group 1s between them since, including an arc. And he's only won four times in his life. I mean, he's got to be a Group horse this year, isn't he? He's just got to have some improvement in him. I thought he was a massive price when he was 10s, but he's now borderline favourite, or joint favourite anyway. I still think he's a massive player. Servi, I thought, was very, very interesting. Not so much as what she's done on her last two starts. On her last two starts, she's a bit below form. But the dropping in trip, I didn't really get that with her. She dropped back to a mile in March. And it was a mile and one, and she flopped out of the stalls under Ryan Moore at Newmarket and then made the challenge on the wrong side of the track, beating a fair way in the end, but she actually ran on quite strongly to get into some sort of challenging position at one point. But pick of form last year, she's been in the first four in five Group 1s in her life. She was third to Whirl and Calpana in a Pretty Polly. She was only beaten three lengths by Aventure in the Vermeil. She's been second in a French Oaks. Like, you know, I mean, she's got loads and loads of form
that
says she's better than a listed filly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even at this level. So her best form puts her right in there. And I did hear a little whisper that they were talking about trying to go to America for a grade one for her and decided to come here instead. I don't know whether that's because they didn't think she could win the grade one. There's another matter altogether. But this is...
Yeah, fair.
This is... That's what I heard. So I just thought she was interesting at a price. She's certainly got the form to be a player.
All right, OK. Whew, there's a lot in here, isn't there? There is a lot. I mean, I thought if we could get a Wathnan special. Mm. I wanted a middle to high draw. I wanted Ascot form. I wanted form in at least the Group 2. And Hartem, King's Gambit and Map of Stars all have that. In the box, so...
Hartem doesn't have a middle to high draw, but a low draw isn't that bad here, is it? Over one or two.
Oh, yeah, Hartem's in two, actually, yeah. Well, in that case, Hartem's off the list. In that case, King's Gambit and Map of Stars, then. But, again, it's just... Again, it's just really,
just
really
have a place,
tough.
Just have a place pot. Mm.
Just, yeah, this will be... Yeah,
just the last race. Have your swingers, have your place pot.
Just don't bank a one in this race. Is that in the last race in a big field?
Yeah. Don't remind me of what happened a couple of years ago.
I don't
ago.
Know what you're talking about. I would possibly, couldn't possibly know. Let's have a look. Jim likes Ghostwriter. Best race of the day, says Mike Boy. I mean, it's certainly probably the most competitive. This is Wimbledon Hawkeye's Derby, says Destiny Sounds. Fair enough. Galen wins. MTR's got a chance as well. So yeah, there you go. That tells you how tough that race is. The Wolferton, no longer a handicap. last race of the day then is the Copper Horse Stakes. But who will take gold? Valiancy 2-1 favourite. Gamrai 5-1. Daiquiri Bay 6-1. Singers of Song 7-1. Ascending is 9-1 with Aeronautic and Ernst Blofeld 14-1 and bigger the rest. And Valiancy. Unfortunately, Kiel's another one of those haggis horses where you think, oh, it's a bit short, and then it'll probably bolt up because he just keeps doing it with the same type of horses.
Yeah, I opposed two of them at York on Saturday.
Yeah.
They absolutely gagged up, didn't they? I mean, you got to remember, the thing that won the first race on Saturday, right, they were talking about entering it in the jersey.
Yep.
Right, and he looked like he would be out of place in the jersey, but they've got the red hot favourite for the jersey, so maybe that's why he went there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's just it's one of those, isn't it? But the thing about Valiancy is that race at Hamilton wasn't all that good.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? It was a class three. It was full of 7 and 8 year olds. I mean, I know he beat a young horse that was close up, but I mean, it had no depth in it, and he's £8 higher in a much better race.
Well, I think Jim Gold is going to have your guts for garters if you keep talking like this. But yeah,
no, but it's true, though, isn't it? Maybe it's a reverse for Scots like Goldie, because I could never understand a word he says. So maybe he can't understand me.
Yeah, possibly. Or he just thinks, oh yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's fine.
Most people think that, to be fair. Like, you know, so I mean, again, I could take him, and I can't bet 2-1 shots in big fields.
Yeah.
And I was looking at this. You called him a jumps trainer early on, Joseph O'Brien.
Well, isn't he? Well, he's all purpose.
He's had 600 in the last five seasons. He's had 600 runners over jumps on the flat in Ireland, and 3,500 runners on the flat.
Shut you up, isn't it?
Well, he got the biggest.
Yeah, but to be fair, he's also, as far as I'm aware, he's probably selling things on Vinted, running three cafes.
He just does everything.
He
probably has the biggest yard of any trainer in Britain or Ireland.
Yeah,
and he has loads of business. And he's thrown the kitchen sink at the Ascot Stakes. Got 7 runners. He got one. In here, and it's Aeronautic, who was quite unfurnished last year when he ran in this race. He only beaten 3 lengths, finished 5th, and then he ran some crackers in handicaps after that, finishing a close 3rd at Goodwood, 3rd again in the Patingo at Leopardstown, 7th in the Irish Says, not beaten that far, 3rd again at French Duke, first time out at Maidan, and then he ran in a Group 3, and he was actually quite well beaten there, but he was the lowest rated horse in the race by some way, and I don't know what went wrong with him. He was actually backed in, he was 3rd fav despite being the lowest rated horse in the race. I just thought it was interesting. He's the only one that O'Brien is sending here.
He's booked John Velasquez.
Yeah. Four-time Royal Ascot winner.
Yeah.
But all on the straight track. So, yeah, a strange one. I don't know. Yeah, it must be some link with the owners there somewhere, mustn't it?
I mean, he's got a ride in the Queen Mary the next day.
He's over here to you know, the American horses in the sprints and the two-year-old races, aren't they? So, you know, that's why he's here. But, yeah, it is a strange one. But the horse himself, I think, is very interesting. In fact, that O'Brien's only come in one. I was going to tip Daiquiri Bay, and he went from tens to sevens as I was writing it, so I changed my mind. I hate it when they shorten like that. So, yeah.
You need to write quicker.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I won't mind. I've still got a file early, and by the time it hits there, all the prices have gone anyway. I don't know why I bother. Yeah, well. But I couldn't understand. He was a fair bit bigger price than Gamroy, who he beat at Newmarket last time, and I know it might be a bit of a weights turnaround, but he's in 12. Gamroy might not be in the best place in 2. And I just didn't see any reason why there was a big difference between them in the betting, and I would have preferred of the Waffenlands, and they've got loads. I would have preferred Sing Us a Song. I was all over him last year for the 3-year-old handicap, but he played up in the stalls and
that's what he is
kick.
A bit buzzy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is a bit buzzy, but he seems to have grown up since he's been gelded, and he's run very good race. Beat Class Leader last season. I know he lost to him last time out at York, but that was 1 mile 4, and he actually looked like getting badly outpaced by the front two. Two horses went past him, he was in the front, two horses went past him, and he was pulling nicely clear of the third in the end, running on strongly. So I think 1 mile 6 is his trip. You know, you're not going to moan about James McDonald riding, are you? So. Plenty. I think there's plenty that you can take Valency on with. Plenty of horses that are a good deal better than the ones he beat at Hamilton, and he's now £8 higher. So I thought he was one to take on. I'll probably lay him for a place and get me ass kicked by William Agus yet again.
Yeah, because he just does keep doing it. He just keeps doing it.
Yeah.
And again, the Rodders, short price handicap. They are just weaker races these days. And part of the reason, you know, William Agus was saying he wants more 4-year-olds is because, you know, a lot of the horses who would have progressed into copper horse horses have been sold elsewhere, and therefore sort of the middle class of these races can be quite weak. But again, unless you're going to,
it's one of Rodders' better theories actually. The handicap maturity of the markets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last Friday and Saturday. Last week, like, every decent race was being won by one of the first two in the betting, and winning easily. So, but anyway, what are you taking the favourite on with?
Yeah, I'm taking the favourite on. I was drawn to Duraji, first of all. Brother to Gayath. Very good pedigree, obviously. He's run a really nice stable debut for Richard Hughes in the Chester Cup. Drawn widest, almost made all. Didn't quite get home around Chester over 2.5 miles. Dropping in trip, I think he's interesting. He could win something decent this season. But I'm a big fan of Daiquiri Bay, like you guys. I remember sat in here this time last year. I'm sure you backed Daiquiri Bay for the King George handicap, or at least gave him a strong mention.
He's been on my list for a while, yeah, but he just, in my head, it was 1.5 miles in rain, soft and ground.
Yeah.
And then he went to Newmarket and won 1.5 miles
exactly.
To firm. So.
But I think he'll relish the extra 2 furlongs for sure. Yeah. I'm pretty confident he'll finish ahead of Gamroy. And I've also had a bit on a related double with Hopewell Rock in the Duke of Edinburgh later in the week. I like that
form. Very strong in the betting. I'd look.
He's shortening all the time. You got to move quickly.
You got it. Yeah, so. Yeah. You've got. You, I agree. Yeah, and I don't.
I think Hopewell Rock could be one of the big handicap gambles later in the week for Waffnan.
Yeah,
and he's something like 8-1 now. I mean, in theory, like you don't really want to take a 8-1 in such a big field handicap, but I think you could go off a lot short.
Yeah. So Duraji for you?
Daiquiri Bay for me with a token on Duraji.
All right, okay. The only other one I would throw in was, we talk about strong in the bay, and Ernst Blofeld was smashed at Kempton last time out. And I thought, I'm sure this horse is disappointed repeatedly. And I kind of looked at him, and for the Gosdens, yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, he kind of hit it. He switched yards, he ran a nice comeback at Newmarket, and the time was really, really strong. He was really strong at the finish. And again, it was another one of those ones where just the money was so strong. And never at any point did I think this horse was going to get beat. And that just made me sit up and think, oh, okay, since they've gelded him, moved yards, he might be a bit of a different animal now.
Do rate Hamad El-Jahani as well. I think he'll have a winner this week.
Yeah.
Oh, he is very good, isn't he?
Albeit surprised that... Wythan bought him. I thought she, you know, should have been Bond thoroughbreds would have been more appropriate. Right, on that damp squib, let's check the chat and then get the naps for day one. Rob Britton earns Blofeld. We don't expect him to win after his last run. John Hall, the Haggis factor is massive. 7 winners in the last 14 days. His favourite's too short, but he is very much the one to beat. And Duraj, you can't fail to be at the first three after his run at Chester down in Trip. Positive. My nap of the day, says Colin Wraith. There you
well
go.
Done, Colin.
Strong.
Good luck, Colin.
Strong in the last. All right, OK. Let's have a... It's Roy Lascott, isn't it? So let's have a nap and a wild... outsider that you quite fancy to run well on day one.
Okay.
Because it's that sort of week, isn't it? So, Keels, nap and wild outsider.
Dear. Nap and wild outsider. Right, nap is going to be aeronautic. And a wild outsider, might as well put up a silly one in the sprint. I have actually backed Get Ready to Rumble in the, what's it, 100. He's now 66. So I've got the value.
Yeah.
It's in trap one, so I can't possibly win. But if it is all right over there, that third at Nace, I thought it would have beaten Mission Central with a clear one, and Mission Central's considerably shorter in the betting, isn't it? So,
okay.
So one that might run well at a price.
Lovely stuff. Robbie Napper and outside.
Napola, Thackeray Bay in the couple, also last. And yep. The each way play is time to, what's the horse's name? That Henry de Bromhead one.
Tim Toe.
Yeah. Tim Toe, not Time Toe.
Yeah,
Tim Toe. He's
it's gonna, time he, for Tim Toe.
He's going to be the first Ascot Stan Handicap winner that won over a mile last time.
Yeah, fair enough.
What about you, Matt?
I'm just going to straight bat it on day one. More thunder in the opener is the nap.
Look, we'll all be celebrating if that happens.
We will. Hopefully lightning will strike three times. Is that what? No, not really. And High King, I think, will run a good race.
You made it at Donnacarra Barnhill, yeah. Made a good case.
It's just the one, just you know, the one where you look and you think, they just shouldn't be that price. Mm. And I remember, it's also when you actually see a horse win, when it wins as well, and it kind of blows you away, you go, crikey, that's absolutely jotted up. So there'd be my two. On day one.
Yeah.
Plenty more to come. We'll be back tomorrow night for more of the same. And by that point, we'll know exactly where you want to be on the track in order for it to completely change.
We're all here tomorrow, aren't we? What will we be? 0 from 7? 0 from 7? 0 from 7?
Nah, more Thunder. Come on, then. More Thunder's going to do it for us.
What? Probably.
Yeah.
But it's day one. Look, we tiptoe in. It's it's marathon. A marathon, not a sprint.
Sorry, I stole your thunder there.
It's a marathon.
Yeah. Not a sprint.
There you go. You can steal my thunder, Robbie, because there'll always be more thunder. See you tomorrow.